so fair, let it go on along.
All right, you're tuned into a special edition of the Crispy Critics. Today we're going to be talking with Jim Eno of the Austin band Spoon. They've got quite a few different things on the horizon, and they're also touring behind their last album, Ga 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 Ga. Jim is in Austin, Texas right now. We're going to speak with him briefly. How are you looking forward to the new tour?
I guess I'm looking forward to it. We've been out pretty much since June or so. Things have been really busy for us already, but you know, we're looking forward to it. I'm really psyched to play two shows in First Avenue. So.
Oh, right on. How did you guys end up with the Ponies? Do you guys choose the openers for your tours, or is it a label decision? Or
well, it's a bunch of people that get involved, but yeah, we're fans of those guys. Yeah, we're psyched there. Yeah, they're doing most of the tour with us.
Are you pretty excited for Saturday Night Live? Live in about a week or so.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. A little bit nervous, you know, but it's like one of those things that you never bank on happening, you know. So it's probably the hardest TV show to get, it seems like.
Yeah, there's not too many openings for the year.
Yeah. For a band, it's really, really good. So we're really excited about it.
Have you had to do any, I mean, have you started on like prep work for it, or is it pretty much the week before the actual show you go in and do, you know, rehearsals or?
Yeah, we do rehearsals on Thursday and then Friday off, and then film on Saturday.
Right on.
And so we're probably flying into New York on Wednesday. So.
Are you guys fans of the show, or is it just kind of a staple of your youth? Or
Yeah, I watch it every once in a while. But yeah, it's just the sort of thing that, you know, been watching it since, you know, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and everything. Radiohead on there and just all the great act. Pretty cool to be a part of that.
Have you noticed it's kind of pulled more towards the indie genre in the last couple of years? I thought that was interesting. It used to be really, like, you know, the arena acts, but they seem to be going for more. I don't know if quality is the right word, but I would say more quality, so...
Right. Well, I think that's the way the whole record business is going. You know, I mean, it's possible for bands like us and, you know, the Shins and Death Cab and everything to do well on independent labels now. Actually, ignoring the Death Cab, just went to the other label. But you know, it just seems like more bands on independent labels. Arcade Fire, that's a good example, are getting more recognition. So it seems like. Maybe the industry's moving that way. Because independent labels tend to allow, you know, nurturing and putting out records that the artists are happy with and not worrying about singles, which that's what, you know, major labels used to do, but they don't do anymore. I also think that a lot of, you know, movies and commercials and things like that, they're becoming more receptive to licensing non-major label act. That's also helping us stay on the smaller labels, you know, because it's another income stream.
Now while she went to Chicago that night, she faced the wall, and she woke up outside with all those knees in her mouth and felt the pull. And all night the rain came on down, but then she'd never been to Chicago.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy lately. It seems like every up-and-comer seems to be landing a nice deal. Like, I mean, they had New Young Pony Club did the car commercial a handful of years ago. And then Feist right now is this big deal. I remember seeing on Yahoo News, they're like, who's that girl behind the iPod commercials? And
Yep. Oh, yeah. She's blowing up again. Cool, you know. And that's like, that's great. I mean, I really hope that this stuff keeps happening, because these are all bands that are our peers, and it'd be great for all of us to not have to move to majors to make a living, you know?
How much does touring factor into the making a living as a band? Is it more when you're up and coming, or are you guys more set with, like, your album sales?
Well, it's a combination of everything, you know? I mean, we don't need tour support now, so we actually make money on the road, which is good. But as you go to bigger clubs, then you usually need a bigger crew, and you may need a bus, and, you know, expenses get higher. It's good. I mean, we're just happy that you know, we're selling records, put out the records we think are good, and people seem to like them.
That is true. People do really seem to like them, and me included.
Good.
How do you guys tour then? Are you flying? Are you hitting the Greyhound? Or, I mean, you know, do you charter a bus?
Yeah. Well, ever since June, we've pretty much been doing all fly dates because it's been a lot of festivals. What we also have been doing is, like, we did a little West Coast tour where we played Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, and Victoria, and we just took a couple of minivans and rented gear. So we haven't needed a bus yet, but on Friday we leave on the first East Coast tour, and we'll do a bus for that.
Did you guys used to have to tour a lot by van, or how were the old days of touring before the much-deserved attention?
Well, we've been touring since 1995 and pretty much didn't get any recognition until, you know, 2001, 2002. So we've, you know, basically been sleeping on people's floors and all that stuff for a very, very long time. And then I don't know when we first got into a bus. It was probably on Gimme Fiction. That was, what, 2004?
That sounds right.
Yeah, so we had about, or 2004, 2005. So we had about 10 years in the van.
Well, does that keep you humble, remembering your roots, or... You guys don't seem to be one of those bands that gets big heads about themselves, so.
Yeah, I think one of the lucky things is that lucky or unlucky, but we've built this fan base over, you know, a very, very long time, and we haven't built our fan base based on radio play. Whereas some bands start off right out of the gate and have something on the radio, and then they get a lot of fans, but those fans really just want to hear that single, you know, and if your next record doesn't sound like that single, they may lose interest in you. And we've never had to have that problem. You know, we've basically had a incredibly slow, long building of our fan base, which has been great. Because those fans tend to be a lot more loyal.
Do you guys still, like, are you mainly, do you feel a college radio group as far as radio play goes? Or is it, are you getting some top 40 play, or...
We're getting a lot of AAA play with The Underdog, and then we're starting to get some modern rock play now with The Underdog. But I would definitely not say we're a radio band. We would be more of a college radio band, if anything.
Picture yourself in a living room, your pipe and slippers set out for you. I know you think that it ain't too far, but I hear a call of a lifetime ring. Felt the need to get up for it. Now I'm caught out the middleman, can free from the middleman. You got no time for the messenger, got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog, that's why you will not survive. I wanna forget how convention fits.
One thing I was wondering about, you guys have played South by Southwest quite a bit, correct?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Have you noticed a crowd change over the last few years, possibly, as it's grown in size and kind of gone in different directions, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really noticed much difference. I just remember that when we started playing it, like in 1996 or 95 or so, it was pretty easy to get into all the shows, and then it became harder and harder and harder. Pretty much peaking with the internet boom. And then with the internet crash, I just remember there were a few years that, you know, there was, you know, attendance was way down again. You know, because you had all those, you know, the Napster and the MP3.com and eMusic and all those people putting a ton of money into shows and into showcases and things. When that all went away, then it started dying down quite a bit. And over the last few years, it's picking up again. I would say to the internet peak frenzy, but it's, it's getting there.
Do you feel like you have problems, say, with file sharing, or has the internet mainly been a boost for you as far as, you know, getting people to be able to hear your music? Or do you feel it hurts album sales at all for you guys in particular? Or?
No, I don't. I think it may hurt us a little bit, but it has. I think it has worked more as a promotional tool for us than hurting us. You know, and you know, if you make good records, then you know the file sharing and the leaking of your record should help you, because people will hear it and get excited about it, and then they'll buy it anyway and maybe tell some friends. You know, I think where it really hurts is there's, you know, the bands that have one single and then 10 other songs that are not very good, and then the record comes out and no one buys it because they don't want to just buy a record for one song.
Are you guys on iTunes, or have you been able to use that part of the market, digital downloads, as far as receiving money that way?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're on every one of our records, I think, is on iTunes. And we do all the standard, whoever's releasing digitally, we go through them too. So I think what AOL does it, I forget all the other ones, but, and I think our previous record, Gimme Fiction, was about 15% digital downloads, and we're looking at about probably 30% of our sales is going to be digital downloads on this record.
Wow. Yeah. So I think you guys are fans of the digital revolution then?
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, everything's going well for us. And everyone talks about, you know, music industry dying, but we've doubled our record sales on the last three records. Every record has doubled the previous one's sales, so we like it.
How do you feel about the reissues? Now, didn't you have your first album and an EP reissued about 2 years ago, right around the time of Gimme Fiction?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Those
were out of print, and we figured, you know, we didn't want people paying $90 on eBay for, you know, a used copy of Telefono, so we figured we would, you know, release it so everyone could hear it at a reasonable price.
Very commendable. So you've built a studio in your home, correct?
Yeah, it's like a detached structure. It used to be a detached garage that I tore down and built like a proper studio.
Have you recorded multiple albums there, or just the last one? Or?
Well, the last one was recorded at the new place, and the previous three were mostly recorded in a one-room garage behind my house. Yeah.
Have you found it to be very helpful to have, you know, that situation there where you can just go and record? Or?
Yeah, it's actually really helpful because we don't pay $1,000 a day for studio time. You know, we own this place, so it's a lot more cost-effective, and it helps the way that we make records, because we take a long time with making a record.
Do you find yourself experimenting down there quite a bit, or pretty much just when you guys are recording? Or?
Well, we experiment a lot while we record, you know, coming up with different sounds or going after ideas that someone may come up with. So we do a little of both. Infinite studio time is a blessing and a curse, you know?
Mm-hmm. You can really run something into the ground. Or.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we do believe that it's really good to have limitations. That's why, you know, we record on tape and to like having to commit to things. So, you know, we set deadlines for us while recording, you know, but studio time is we don't really consider it.
Has it been odd, or is it pretty much the same to have Britt doing the solo work? Is it kind of interfering, or is it pretty much, you know, he just does it on his own time? Or
you mean the solo shows that he's doing?
Well, I noticed he did quite a bit for the Stranger Than Fiction soundtrack, and I assume he's probably not the only project he's got going.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't think it's affecting what we're doing. You know, we both make Spoon the priority, and whatever we do in our free time is fine with the other one, you know?
I turned my camera on, I cut my fingers on the way. On the way, the way of slipping away. I turned my feelings on, you made me untouchable for life. Yeah, yeah, and you wasn't alone. It hit me like a ton. You hit me like a ton.
Awful tour tales. I notice there's usually a horror story behind a lot of bands, one that kind of defines them. Do you have any just absolutely awful stories of maybe bouncer troubles or rowdy crowds? Or
one was we played a show in Atlanta. It was a radio show, and it was outside and in the streets, and they were serving these plastic bottles of beer to everyone, and we went on between two pretty, you know, that hardcore metal funk sort of stuff that I don't even know how to describe it, but we went on between two of those bands, and even before we went on, they started throwing beer bottles at us. So it was crazy because these people would be drinking a beer and it would be three quarters full, and they would throw it at us. So it's like, boy, they're wasting a lot of money throwing full beers at us. So yeah, that was probably the worst one. We played probably 15 or 20 minutes and got off the stage.
Ouch. So you weren't even able to win them over. That sucks.
No.
Yeah, the free beer, they just start lobbing it.
It wasn't free, though. It wasn't free. That's the weird thing.
Oh, wow. So they're probably paying like $4, $5 a bottle.
Exactly, yeah. And they're just throwing these at us. So.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Have you ever, one of the sad things that, you know, you see a lot in like Pitchfork is these up-and-coming bands, they have their gear stolen from them right in the middle of like maybe their first big tour, or I'm sure it's a horrible issue anytime, you know, when you're set back like that. But have you ever had any problems with gear or being stolen?
No, we've been really, really lucky with all our gear so far. Let me knock on wood here because we're leaving on tour. But no, we've been very lucky. We had a van designed when we first started touring that was that we built a cage in the back. And the other thing that we did is we got an alarm where if someone tried to open a door handle, the alarm would go off. So normally if someone's going to try to rip your stuff off, they would see if it's open first. And then as soon as they would flick a handle, then the alarm would go off. So I remember sleeping in a few places and hearing our alarm go off outside in the hotel parking lot. And you go down there and nothing's happened.
Well, that's probably a good fail-safe.
Yeah.
Always on the outside, always looking in. I was in this drop-D metal band we call Requiem. And they say, relax, but I can't be a man who's fucked out on the map. Whoa, oh no. I was off the suspect drawings.
Are you guys currently compiling any new material for a future album, or are you kind of taking it easy as you tour? And
yeah, we don't write a lot on the road. We've been touring so much that we haven't really had a chance to work on any new material. Hopefully soon, though.
Well, thanks for taking the time to speak with me. I guess that does it for my questions.
Great, yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'll be watching you guys on SNL. Hopefully you enjoy your time in there and get to meet some of the cast members and whatnot.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see.
All right.
It'll be a fun time, I think. So. All right, thanks,
I hope
Jason.
So. Yeah, take care, man. Thank you.
Okay. All right, bye.
All right, thanks to Jim Eno of Spoon. They're currently heading out on another leg of their tour. They're going to be touring with the Ponies, and of course they will be playing Saturday Night Live October 6th, so be sure to keep an eye out for that. And of course their album Ga 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 is in stores right now and also available on iTunes and a number of other outlets. And of course you can hear it here on KVSC St. Cloud. That does it for the Crispy Critics this week. We'll be back next week with more music reviews, and keep your ears peeled for a Shoo Shoo interview coming up in the following couple of weeks. Thank you very much and have a great weekend, folks.
We go to sleep to shake a pill, never wake up on our own. That's the way we get by, so where we get by. All that's the way we get by, so where we get by. We go out in stormy weather, we rarely practice discern.
try you out. It's like nothing you ever seen. You sweet talk like a cop.